You've heard our open themes with listeners talking about their vocations.
Missouri dairy farmers, love issues, etc.
And what they're doing while listening to Issues Etc.
This is Mark from Michigan, and I am a lawnmower listener. We love Issues Etc.
We're looking for more of these elements to include in our open themes. Tell us about your vocation, hobby, or what you do while listening to Issues Etc. Call the Issues Etc. comment line 24/7 at 618-223-8382. If you make a mistake, just start over. 618-223-8382. Thanks for listening, and thanks for contributing to Issues Etc. 618-223-8382.
Precisely because things have gotten so hostile out there, there is a new understanding and a new kind of backbone growing into traditional Christianity, and I think that's a very good sign.
How do we teach the child to love the law without teaching the child they have to keep the law in order to be loved?
The Bible comes to us not first as a theology book, but as a history book. The Bible comes to us saying, these are things that happened.
Freedom in the Bible is not, I can do whatever I want to do whenever I want to do it. That's not freedom, that's only slavery. Freedom in the Bible is, I have a father who loves me, has given his son to die for me.
Wisconsin snowplow drivers love Issues Etc.
Media coverage of the March for Life every year is usually somewhat sparse. It's minimalistic, let's call it that. But I was surprised to see a headline from the Religion News Service, Anti-Abortion Democrats Navigate Divide Between March for Life and the Women's March. Now, that's interesting. That's an angle that I haven't seen yet, if only because it mentions anti-abortion, or let's call them pro-life, Democrats. Greetings and welcome back to Issues Etc. live this Tuesday afternoon, the 23rd of January. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to be talking with Kristen Day, Executive Director of Democrats for Life, about pro-life Democrats, the March for Life, and the Women's March. A little bit later, Dr. Thomas Korchak joins us for part two of our series on progressive versus classical Lutheran education. Today, we'll be talking about the vocation of the teacher, and Tom Baker of Law and Gospel will be alongside in the last few minutes to talk about a big change for Paul. Paul gets sent on his first missionary journey. It's a long time coming. From his conversion to his first missionary journey, I think it's about 13, 15 years. But then he sets off and he really never stops. Why is it important that Paul goes not of his own initiative, but waits for God to tell him to go, waits for God to call him to do it? We'll find out when we talk with Pastor Tom Baker. Joining us to talk about pro-life Democrats, the March for Life, and the Women's March, Kristen Day. She's Executive Director of Democrats for Life based in Washington, D.C. Kristen, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thank you. It's great to be back with you.
Were you surprised to see Religion News Service covering pro-life Democrats? The headline read, Anti-Abortion Democrats Navigate Divide Between March for Life and Women's March?
Pro-life Democrats have been in the news quite a bit since the Democratic Party came out pretty strongly in the race for mayor with Heath Mello last summer. And so this discussion about pro-life Democrats and is there a place for us in the party has been receiving quite a bit more attention lately.
How would you describe what the RNS is calling the divide between these two marches, the March for Life and the Women's March?
Well, definitely I felt more welcome at the March for Life because it was the issue that I believe in and the pro-life view, and we all share that. And, unfortunately for the Women's March, it seemed like you had to be a specific type of women to be at the Women's March. And I don't think that we can have a strong women's movement that is exclusive to only a certain type of women. So, for example, if you are pro-life, then they don't want you to have any part of being there.
What is it about the philosophy that's running the Women's March that would exclude a pro-life woman?
I'm not sure why they decided to take that certain approach, and it is when you see the speakers at this year's march in Washington, D.C., it was all Democratic women and Tim Kaine, Democrat. So it's very Democratic run and driven. So, and the party is very much in support of abortion. So that probably has a strong message of why they have taken that position, because they are really carrying the water for the anti-Trump, pro-democratic movement.
Were you able to attend the Women's March?
Yeah, I decided not to go this year because I just, you know, I can only take one fight at a time. And right now, my fight is within the Democratic Party. And I didn't have a great experience at the Women's March last year. Right toward the end of the march, a woman became a little bit violent with me. And the police had to step in because of my sign that said pro-life for the whole life. So I just thought, you know, I don't really want to go back to a place where I'm really not welcome. I mean, most of the women were great, and we had good discussions about being a pro-life Democrat, but just that kind of soured me at the end there, where it could turn ugly very quickly.
In your previous experience there at the Women's March, were there others like you there, women who were concerned about some of the same things that the Women's March is promoting, but still wanted to protect the unborn?
Yeah, there were quite a few of us pro-life. We met up and went together, and there are a lot of issues that we agreed with at the march. And I thought the march was supposed to be raising women up, and we all have different opinions, but we should be proud of speaking out and fighting for what we believe. And that just didn't turn out to be what it was about. There were very specific issues that you had to agree with to be there. But the women, I mean, most of the women that I'm with are liberal women. They're not Republicans. They're anti-Trump. And, you know, so it was really a disappointment to see them excluded just because of this one issue.
So it's not only feeling unwelcome as a pro-life Democrat, it's also feeling unwelcome even as a pro-life liberal.
Right, right, absolutely. You know, like, I think I say within the party, too, it's like we agree on 90%. So why tell us that we don't belong over this one issue?
Let's talk a little bit about the March for Life. How would you contrast the atmosphere there?
It was just a very wonderful day. The sun was shining and people were happy, and it was a beautiful day. And you know, I think everyone was friendly, and it was just a beautiful, gorgeous day to be out walking in Washington and marching for what you believe in with other people who agree with you.
Now, in that case, you're kind of find yourself in a different position, Kristen, because you're marching with people with whom you share the conviction of the intrinsic value of human life from beginning to end, but you're probably politically going to disagree with them on an awful lot of other things, too.
Yeah, you know, definitely we would. But, you know, overall, people were very supportive of the Democrats. I think in the pro-life movement, I think they're beginning to recognize that we can't do it with one party alone. We have to have two parties promoting life to end abortion, or even pro-life members within the other party, within my party, to advocate on this side of the aisle. So there are people there who would Make America Great hats on, and there were people there with pro-Democrat signs, but it seems like everyone was just happy to be there and promoting this one issue that we all agree on.
Did you, at the March for Life, either this year or in past years, encounter any hostility toward the idea of a pro-life Democrat?
Definitely, we have in the past. It seems to be much more open now. You know, and I think the initial march organizer, Nellie Gray, she was not fond of pro-life Democrats, so she definitely set this tone where we weren't really welcome and to be even march with the other marchers. We used to bring a donkey with us named Jellybean, and she threatened to arrest us if we brought Jellybean the donkey again. So we were definitely not welcome at prior marches, but now it just seems much more open. We had, under the new leadership, and we had a table at the expo, and people came up to learn more about us and our point of view on the abortion issue, and people wanted to join us. We had people signing up to join Democrats for Life and encouraging us to keep up the fight.
There was a story about a now exceedingly, or increasingly rare, it seems, pro-life Democratic politician who was going to attend the March for Life but decided not to because President Trump announced that he would be speaking there via video screen. What do you make of that?
I think, Dan, he probably made the right call. He's under attack from the progressive movement, and they are running a primary opponent against him. And I'm sure that they would have used that Dan Lipinski was sharing the stage with Trump against him. So I understand why he decided not to come. But I'm really proud of him and his strong stance on life and unwilling to compromise on it. I mean, when you believe that life begins in the womb, you should not ever vote against that. And he's one of the few members that really stands up for what they believe and doesn't bend. I know for a fact that there are pro-life Democrats in the House right now that don't vote that way. And I think that's just a disgrace.
You met last summer with Democratic National Committee Chair Tom Perez at the DNC headquarters. Have you seen any genuine movement on the part of the DNC toward pro-life Democrats?
Not really right now. You know, I think there are a few pro-life Democrats running for House seats around the country, so, and we're trying to get some support for those candidates because I think we have a real good chance of picking up maybe one or two. So we're still working on that, and hopefully the DCCC will work with us to and look at those seats, because if they're serious about taking back the House, then they need to look at these districts and run the candidates that best fit that district. And in some cases, it's going to be a pro-life Democrat. So we're still working on it, and hopefully those candidates will get support.
Finally, then, I want your thoughts on a recent vote on the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act, which received very few votes from the Democratic side of the aisle. What are your thoughts there?
Oh, I'm just so disappointed in my party on that. The excuse for voting against it was that it doesn't happen. Well, we know that it does. When we hear former abortion clinic whistleblowers coming out and telling their stories, we know that this happens. And even if you believe that it doesn't happen, there's no harm in having this bill signed into law to protect that it might. And even when you look at clinics like Kermit Gosnell, he's bringing that up again, but you know, there are some abortion clinics that do not follow health and safety standards and will let the baby die. So I think there has to be some repercussions, and it's just disappointing that abortion has become such an issue where they can't even see common sense.
A couple final questions. Is holding a pro-choice position, is that a democratic value?
No, absolutely not. I think when you look at democratic values, it's supporting those who need assistance. And, you know, it sounds trite, but who needs more assistance than the baby in the womb? But it's true. The baby in the womb is the most vulnerable in our society. And the pregnant woman carrying the child, who in some cases, and they're coerced to have an abortion. And when all this talk about sexual assault in the news, the number one killer of pregnant women is murder. And because the spouse or the husband or the father of the child doesn't want to care for the child, so they take care of it themselves if the woman won't get an abortion. So it's very dangerous to be in these relationships for some of these women who get pregnant. And as a Democrat Party, we should be standing up for these women, not saying just get an abortion and don't worry about anything else. It's just our party needs to be consistent in our whole life position.
And finally, is being pro-choice pro-woman?
I don't believe so at all. It's not empowering. It's not. I mean, what we're telling these women when we tell them to get an abortion is you're weak, you can't handle it, just get an abortion. And, you know, that's the opposite of feminism. Feminism is, you know, we can do anything that we set our minds to. And when you look at the pregnancy centers and the people who are helping pregnant women, they're lifting the women up and saying, you can do it. You can get a job. You don't have to drop out of school. You can have a baby and still, you know, continue your education. And more on the you can, you can, you can. And that is more pro-women and feminist, for that matter.
Kristen Day is Executive Director of Democrats for Life based in Washington, D.C. You'll find a link to Democrats for Life at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Kristen, thank you very much. Keep up the good work.
Oh, thank you so much for having me on today.
When we come back, you've heard about those websites, Rate My Professor or Rate My Teacher, kind of popularity contests. Is that the measure of a good teacher, that the kids and the parents like them? We'll talk about that in our series on progressive versus classical Lutheran education with Dr. Thomas Korchak.
Did you make a New Year's resolution to get in shape this year? You'll find quality personal training and qualified instruction at Performance Fitness at Edwardsville. You can even work out for a full 30 days before making a commitment to join. Visit them on the web at performancefitness618.com or call 618-692-5063. Performance Fitness can help you keep your New Year's resolution. Performance Fitness in Edwardsville. Performancefitness618.com.
Hey, Todd, what have our listeners noticed first when visiting the LPR studios?
Definitely the small size and the dirt.
Well, not anymore, thanks to our friends at the Cleaning Authority. They've turned this man cave into a space that meets even our wives' approval.
Whether it's our office or your home, the Cleaning Authority is your cleaning service provider in the St. Louis area.
To schedule a free estimate or to find out more, visit thecleaningauthority.com. Thecleaningauthority.com.
Defending life from beginning to end. You're listening to Issues Etc.
When pastors talk about us, they call us ad crucem. When laity mention us, they speak of ad crucem. When non-Lutherans address us, they say ADC Rucam. But no matter how you say it, ad crucem is the place to go for greeting cards, artwork, jewelry, ornaments, housewares, church certificates, church banners, and all your gift buying needs. Visit adcrucem.com, confessing the faith through art and word. ADC RUCEM.com.
Answering objections defending the faith. Evolution or creation, transgenderism and homosexuality. These are some of the issues addressed at the San Antonio Biblical Worldview Conference, Saturday, February the 3rd at Faith Lutheran Church in San Antonio, Texas. Learn more at worldviewsa.org. This conference features Issues Etc. guests Dr. Jan Lohmeyer and Pastor David J. Weber. The San Antonio Biblical Worldview Conference, Saturday, February the 3rd, worldviewsa.org.